Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Governor Kristi Noem and her staff have been responding to national and local press coverage of her administration's leadership during the novel coronavirus spread in South Dakota. South Dakota journalists are responding publicly to the governor's response. COVID-19 has become an opportunity to look at how we see the world on one hand and on the other hand. Kevin Wooster writes the column On the Other Hand for SDPB. You can find his work online at sdpb.org/Wooster. And he's joining us today with perspective on how journalists interact with the governor's office and how disasters, emergencies, the national gaze, and social media can alter that interaction. Kevin, thanks for being here. I appreciate your time.
Oh, it's always good to be back, especially talking about journalists.
Right. How long have you been, for perspective, for people who are listening, how long have you been in this business?
I wrote my first byline news story for the Chamberlain Register in 1973. So it's been a while.
It's been a few minutes.
I told that to the woman, one of the women in question here, Maggie Seidel. And she paused, as often do, and kind of did the math and said, wow, it's pretty good he's still coherent, or at least as coherent as he's going to be.
Is that what she said, but, or yeah. Is that what you think she was thinking?
That's kind of what I think she was thinking. She didn't say it.
We've just begun, and we're already putting words into her mouth.
Exactly. Yeah.
I want to talk a little bit about what has been happening largely on social media for people who are not journalists or maybe have just dipped into this story a little bit, because there have been some back and forths. And where do you want to begin with telling the story, especially for those who are not aware of what we're talking about right now already?
Well, I think I'd begin with saying what I said on one social media platform. I can't remember which one it was recently. Was, boy, am I lucky that they didn't have Twitter when I was, you know, younger and maybe a little more aggressive and maybe a little bit more volatile than I am today, which is, I mean, hard for some to believe. But because I got in enough trouble with just newsroom, what essentially was newsroom email back in the day, you know, when you couldn't have an immediate public platform, which is, can be, as Donald Trump proves every day, a dangerous thing. And I think I would have managed ways to get in trouble. And, you know, I watch some of the tweets that are sent out, and my understanding is reporters these days, you know, I think it's wonderful. Some of them have this amazing gift to sit at a meeting and tweet, and essentially write a story while they're tweeting. And I don't think I could do that, that immediate type of stuff. And they manage to keep track of everything. But then sometimes they have these opinion tweets or these frustration tweets or these other kinds of tweets. And I see those and I go, ooh. Really? And I've made a couple of comments. Jonathan Ellis and I had a comment about Maggie Seidel, the governor's senior press, senior advisor, and about something he said about her in a social media thing, and I mentioned it. And there was a little bite back from some people like, you know, hey, old guy, go fishing, you know, or either get off the pond or come back and help us do the job. Jonathan kind of implied that, and I didn't blame him for that. That was legitimate. And you know, things are a little bristly between them and between different people covering the governor right now. It's a difficult time. And then we had this kind of exchange where Maggie Seidel was unhappy with a particular story and pointed that out in an email to a group of reporters. I was one of them in the group. And an old Rep City Journal pod mate of mine, Jeremy Fugelberg, who now works for Forum Communications in Sioux Falls, kind of fired back on a tweet. And I sent out a tweet saying, maybe do that more privately, because that's the way we would always do it, I think, prior to all this social media stuff. And that kind of began a discussion that that culminated with Fugelberg and me having a conversation as I was out wandering around the countryside yesterday on cell phone. So the whole idea of how do you respond, what's going on with the governor right now in terms of this difficult time and also her future, you know, and her her spotlight from the conservative media, I think, is a big part of all this.
It's a big part of what's driving this. This is not the first time Governor Noem has taken has mentioned her frustration with the press. There was a press conference weeks ago where Bob Mercer asked her a question, and not sure I remember right now whose piece she was referring to, but I believe it was an Argus Leader piece where she sort of said, you know, some of the reporting is irresponsible, and you're trying to write headlines that grab attention. And so my point is, this is not the first time she has said publicly. So these reporters would say, if she can say publicly at a press conference that the press corps is irresponsible and take a whole group of people to task for one thing that she didn't like, why can't we say, hey, this is how the governor's office is responding to us? What would your response be to that argument?
I think that's a legitimate argument. We had that discussion. Just because the way we used to handle it was the way we used to handle it doesn't mean that's the way we should handle it today. I would have it out with Maggie myself. If I didn't like something that she wrote, I would, and I did. I sent her a personal email that was critical of the group email she sent out and talked about why I thought that was an error on her part and, you know, very unwise. And then she asked if we could talk by phone the next day, and we did. We had an extended conversation, and I expressed myself again that I thought it was a mistake the way she handled that and why. And that's the way we always handled it before. And to take it on to a social media platform, I don't know, it wasn't the way I would have done it. And I think sometimes it's almost us saying, look at what they're doing, look at what they're doing, or tattletale. But another person said, listen, we need to understand how they're operating. And showing that, sending that out, gives an insight into the governor's office and the governor's staff and what they're doing right now. And I think that's a valid argument, too. To me, I think they're both valid. I think you can make an argument for either one. But the question I always have is, does this do anything to improve your working relationship with the governor's senior staffers? Are you interested in improving that?
Yeah. And is that the goal? Yeah. I mean, because I think that's a big question. What is the goal here? Yeah. Is the goal to improve, or do you have a different goal in mind? And should you have? should your goal be? And what should the goal of the governor's office be as well at this point in her relationship with the media? And I want to bring us back to, as I asked that question, to Fox News and to national platforms, who South Dakotans tune into all the time. So you can't say that Fox News is for somebody other than South Dakotans, but those questions are not being asked by South Dakota journalists. So what is the discomfort that local journalists have with the amount of time the governor spends on national platforms?
I understand the discomfort. First of all, you have to say, wow, she has a news conference every day, virtually, or almost every day during the week. That's a lot. That's a lot of open access for South Dakota reporters who can call in or be there in person. And I know I would want more. I'm sure they want more. And then when you see her splashing all over the conservative media, you can't get a call back on some specific questions you have. I understand your frustration. I understand why but on the other hand, in a state where 62% of the people in 2016 voted for Donald Trump and Fox News is Trump's network, you're reaching a lot of South Dakotans when you're on Fox News or on those different kinds of programs. So I don't think you can deny that. You can't deny that there's a benefit to South Dakota from her being connected to Donald Trump and his administration. Whether you think that's always an admirable benefit or the benefit that's good for most South Dakotans is a debatable point. So it's a complicated question. And then we throw in this thing, well, she's just doing it because she wants to be a cabinet member or the vice presidential candidate, or she wants to run for president someday. And that's possible, too. And she brings in Maggie Seidel and Ian Fury and these with mostly Washington connections. And then people say that's all part of this setup to take her to D.C. And it may be. And it may be just the fact that she's having trouble hiring locally because she's had some trouble keeping staff for whatever reason and gone through a few staffers. So there's a lot going on right now in a relationship that is bristly, but it's not unusual. I think Jonathan Ellis said yesterday, it's not all that usual to have a bristly relationship with a governor's staffer from time to time.
Right. Especially during a time of tension so much. I want to get, before we run out of time here, to this idea that Maggie did say in her email, which is, You're not looking at the positives of what have happened here. So I want to talk a little bit about some of the administration's positives as we sort of see them right now, and then some of their missteps. What do you think they've done particularly well? What has Governor Noem done particularly well in handling the coronavirus in the state?
Well, I think she's been a steady hand. I think she's, and I know some people will dispute that, but I think she gives a consistent message of distancing, sheltering where you need to, and reducing the curve. And other than a blow up in Sioux Falls, I think things aren't going too bad in South Dakota. I think I said in a column recently, so far so good. I will it blow up? Will she wish she had closed the state down more? Maybe, or maybe not. We'll see. I have concerns about the coming tourism season. What's going to happen next. But I think there's been, and I think generally she's been open. I think if I would have one criticism for her and her staff, it's don't react so much. I mean, just focus on what you have to do and stop trying to somehow control news flow, because you can't. You can't. And also, I understand the charm of being on national conservative media, and when you can use that for our benefit as a state, do it. But we're the ones, the local media, that really count in this, in a time when South Dakotans are sick and in some cases dying. We're the ones that care about it. Fox News does it. They say they do, but they don't. We do. Remember that.
Has the administration been transparent enough? Because from the beginning with the epidemiological models, there was some frustration with what they were willing to release and how they were willing to release it. That has been a big frustration of journalists. Do you think that's a fair assessment of something they could have done better?
I think they sometimes push back more than they had to. Sometimes I'm a little too soft. I'm a little too trusting, and I'm assuming that if the models come out of Avera, Sanford, and Monument, and they go through the state epidemiologist and Kim and the health department, that there's probably pretty valid stuff being looked at. That doesn't mean it's perfect. But I understand why people are pushing for more answers. Sometimes we tend to push just to push when maybe we have enough. But that's part of the job. And I think sometimes they resist just to resist because things have gotten personal. I mean, not like they have been D.C. with Trump, but how could anybody make things as personal as Trump did? Noem is a much nicer person personally than Donald Trump is. And I think our reporters here are less likely to let their personalities get in the way of things. So things go better than they do in D.C., but it has a little D.C., flavor sometimes.
Right. Always great to talk journalism with you, Kevin Wooster. Thank you so much for your insight today.
We do the best we can with the old aging brain we got.